Hi, I'm Hungrybox, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 131 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date is November 19th, 2018. The time, 8:45 p.m. Central Standard Time. We have a show for you today. In fact, it might be the best episode ever. We had a championship Sunday, boys. In case you are unaware, that's when at least minimum three games have their big world championship finals. So we always like to give that a little tip of the hat. So we'll talk about that. Halo 5, Smash Summit, Rainbow Six, Smite, all that will be discussed then. H1Z1, the Pro League started and ended just like that. We'll talk about that debacle of a league. And lots of Overwatch drama to get to. We kind of teased last week with DeFran retiring, coming back. So we'll talk about that. But before we do that, let's introduce the crew. My name is Tim. Hello. We typically have a three-man crew. Today we have a two-man crew. Hello, Anuj. Thank you for joining. Thank you for the time out of your day for the listener.
Do you think we'll be able to fill those shoes?
I don't know. Brett likes to remind people he wears a size 13.
Dude, it's like two of me almost.
So, it's big shoes to fill. Hopefully, we have someone to handle Rocket League with his expert analysis. I don't know what to do without it. So, we'll see. But no Brett tonight. He
passed away.
He died. Yeah, so stay hard. No, he is. So he's a novice at computer PC building. So he has our buddy TJ over at his house. And I'm assuming TJ got there around about 6 or 7 o'clock to help Brett put together his new PC. Why Brett thought he could put together a new PC in under an hour after never doing it before. This is his first time ever building a PC. He thought he would be on within the hour. Beats me, but he's not here. Go figure. So he hates the listener, and
it'll be midnight before he's done calling in now.
For sure. That's okay. He's off this week. He took the week off, so.
Oh, nice. He'll enjoy it.
Yes, indeed. Hit us up on Twitter, if you will. At the Center Ring is our handle. You can let us know how we do. Only kind thoughts, though, please. I'm gentle. Our website, tcr.gg, that's got all of our Discord links, YouTube, which is, I don't want to brag, but I've been pretty up to date on our YouTube, so I just got to put more content, right? Isn't that what they say? Content, content, content? So maybe we'll start doing more on there. I don't know what. I mean, I'm not like a creative person. This is it. I kind of shoot everything on this podcast, but we'll see. You can follow us there and join our Discord or Twitter, all that fun stuff. Alrighty, so let's get on to the show. What did you want to start with? What did we say we're starting with? Overwatch?
Overwatch.
There has been a lot of happening. You could call it over drama, if you know what I mean. There's been a lot happening with Overwatch lately. Down to the casual scene at this point now on Twitch, and pros being outspoken and everything there. So I do want to kind of just dedicate a segment to that. I'll start with this first and foremost. Toronto Esports, which has always been known as a, you know, they're in the Contender League. They've always been kind of known as a very outspoken organization. You can see on their Twitter, 99% sure their owner also runs their Twitter because there's like zero filter on that thing. But they were just told that they had to change their name. And with that said, F y'all, we're taking our ball and going home, dropping out of Overwatch completely, abandoning their Contender League team, which I'm pretty sure Boston Uprising is still keeping the players, so they'll find a new home for them for the Contender League. But the reason I wanted to bring this up is because I kind of side with Toronto Esports on this. I don't know if you know the full story, Anuj, but essentially what happened is Toronto Defiant, the new Toronto team for Overwatch League, ended up buying or paying, however that works, for exclusive naming rights to have Toronto in your esports name, I guess in Overwatch, whatever the wording is, right?
What if it was Toronto's Contenders team? They could have still named it like the new Toronto Uprising or whatever, right? If they had the Toronto Contenders team as well, mm-hmm. would they be able to keep that name because it's under the same org?
Yes. Or is it... But Toronto Esports was, I believe, partnered with Boston to be in Contender.
The Krabs family, yeah.
Right. So you had issues there. I think it's kind of a dirty move, right? To be they were there first.
It is, but this is all about money, right? Like, if they're willing to pay for the naming rights and there's nothing stopping them from doing it because it's obviously run by, you know, Blizzard and Overwatch. And so if they allow them to do it, then it is what it is. Like, they're paying the money for it right now. I think Overwatch is, like, it's a big cash grab at the moment, mm-hmm. right? Like, there's so much money involved and so much at stake right now. That people, if they're willing to pay, you know, you're gonna go with the money right now, and you hope it sustains. But I get the point of view. It's just a crappy move, right? Like, this team's been there, they're established, people know them. They're not a small organization, so to like go with them and just be like, hey, change it. You got a month, 2 weeks, whatever. Like, change it. We're starting the season. Like, let's go. You got to do it now. I mean, I get them holding their stance. It does suck, though, because they are also losing. Like, being in Contenders League is still a big deal, right? You're tied to the Kraft family.
That is drama in itself, though, right? On how Blizzard has been treating the Contender League, right? We talked about it a few episodes ago where they kind of reshifted it, making it a little bit smaller. They're not really supporting the tier 2 or tier 3 teams, right? You got to win to get any money really out of it at all now. So that is a topic in itself, right? Like, is Blizzard treating the farm system for the Overwatch League proper? I think you even said it, and after the show, you kind of changed my mind to where I agreed with you. Like, if you're in the farm system, you probably shouldn't be making a living off of the farm system, right?
Like, you're not in the pros. You're not, like, in the big times. It's in any farm system.
And, you know, we see that with normal sports where you just don't, right? If you're on a, you know, a double-A baseball team, you're probably working an off-season job. Right now, whether it's like coaching baseball in the off season or something, that's, you know, it's not like you're a lawyer and then baseball player in the summer, right? These contender teams, you know, they can be streaming, they can be doing a little bit more to help out their guys as well. I don't know if it all falls on Blizzard to support these guys, but that's drama. We talked about it last week in E News. Dufran announced his retirement. Not even just announcing it, right? He raged retired. He uninstalled the game, saying he's done with it. He hates Overwatch. He tried to do it, but he can't. And the contract has been terminated. And I think instantly right there, you know, Atlanta Reign was probably scrambling to their PR team. Like, did any of you get an email? Like, did anyone get a text message on this? And then it was just like a couple hours later, Dufran tweeted out again saying, oh, never mind. We were just kidding. I'm sorry. I'm going to continue playing and I'm going to adjust the way I do things.
Let me read his tweet real quick, because this is the best part, right? Like, the tweet's crazy. So this is on November 7th. The end. I hate the game. Thought I could love it again and have a passion, but it's impossible. I always end up soft throwing. Contract ended. Overwatch uninstalled. McDonald's, here I come. For real, though, thanks for everything you've given me, Overwatch community. Then, November 8th, the following day. Still in Atlanta Reign. Didn't quit, like I said. I messed up. Don't know what to say except sorry to the community, my fans, and Atlanta. It wasn't debate, Sometimes I have these days and make dumb mistakes. Going forward, I'm going to stream less and focus on making myself and my team better. Damn.
Is that
worth it? Talk about two different days.
Is that worth it? We have seen this before where, like, with XQC, right? How long did the Fuel put up with XQC before they finally said, you know what? We're done. We tried it. We're done. Is DeFran going to be XQC 2.0?
XQC had a rage issue, which was a little bit different. Like, he was known to be difficult to work with. Like, it, you know, he was just different, right? XQC is, like, really different. I don't know DeFran that way. Like, XQC was in our backyard, so it was a lot easier to say.
To hear about it.
Yeah, like, we just knew a lot more about that situation. I think if he's, like, you know, again, I hate saying this when it comes to XQC, but, like, if DeFran is, like, mentally stable, which I think XQC is not, it might be worth that risk. But ultimately, you know, you have a loose cannon on your hands, right? And it's somebody you got to stay close to. You have to be more involved with him, which takes resources, time, whatever. But if he's a good enough player, it could be worth the hassle. But, you know, you have to know the personality and, you know, was this really a one-time thing? Or with XQC, we saw a trend, right? Like, it was one incident, two, three, four, and then it, like, led to him getting kicked off. I don't know if it's really the same in this case.
You won't really know until the league starts, right? I think a lot of these players who are young, they think, yeah, this sounds fun. Yeah, this sounds cool. I play a lot of Overwatch anyways. What's the big deal? I'll just go play more Overwatch, right? And get paid to do it. And then they realize how strict the schedule is, and you don't get to really just do what you want as often. And for these streamers, I mean, DeFran has been banned before. You know, the dude, like XQC, has been banned multiple times on Overwatch just for being a troll, right? Blizzard has said, you know, he's kind of on Blizzard's radar. We'll talk about XQC here in a second, but XQC was again banned most recently. I don't think DeFran is too far off from that. I really do not. I think this was a fan favorite signing. I think Atlanta signed DeFran knowing, like, hey, we're a new team in Atlanta, which isn't like a destination city as far as, like, just people to root for the sake of rooting for, right? Not like New York or LA. And they needed someone to get that fan support. DeFran is definitely the guy to do it. I just don't know if you're looking to win or have a stable team chemistry if DeFran is going to be the right guy to do it. If he's already doing this while just kind of playing a pug game, like, I don't know how he's going to handle the stress of the league.
This incident definitely sets off, like, a bunch of red flags, right? The only difference is during league play, you might not be able to put yourself in these situations as often because you would assume you're out there scrimming with your team. You're like, you know, you're on a pretty heavy routine at that point. Unlike other esports, these guys have a lot of time off in between seasons. So they have time to cause drama, you know, get into whatever. It could flip the switch with him once the season starts and he's kind of in that set schedule, but it could go the other way. It's just one of those wait and see. Interesting for sure, though. Worth keeping an eye on.
Yes, yeah. And speaking of XQC, I honestly was not... When I was making the DeFran XQC comparison, I had that going into this show like a week ago. I did not think I was going to actually be able to bring up a recent XQC moment for an example, but sure enough, he came through and he's been banned yet again from Overwatch. This time... for basically going off and retaliating against people who were trolling him. I really would not care if XQC was banned. To me, he is now a full-time streamer. He's not a pro. Don't really care about him. Didn't care about him when he was here. Don't care about him now. I think XQC is who he is, no matter how many times he apologizes to the community or says his piece. But this time, Slasher came out and said... While he said this about the whole topic of these guys getting banned from games, right? Whether it be Overwatch, League of Legends, whatever. While some streamers do need to change their behavior in certain situations, game developers like Blizzard and Riot should be embracing streamers such as XQC and Tyler1 instead of distancing themselves. They have been loyal to these games. They are part of the community. And that's what triggered me. I even responded to that. And you know me. I don't really respond to things on Twitter. It's talking into an empty void and, you know, no one sees it and it's just whatever. But that there triggered me to think that, do people really think that just because you're a streamer and you get a lot of views for a game, you should have any type of special treatment?
I see it. There is special treatment, right? For big streamers. Not necessarily streamers for your game, but like you always see when a game releases a special treatment that all the top streamers
get,
right?
They get that random beta code.
This, there's two parts to it. Slasher's correct that they are part of the community. Like, these are people that you're interested in watching for one reason or another. They have the numbers to prove it. I don't agree with the companies at all needing to support them. It would be very hard to tell your viewing audience to go watch Tyler1 or go watch XQC without knowing that you just put them in front of somebody who will say whatever they want to say, good or bad, about your game, right? They're usually raging at the game
saying
half
that
the time,
it's
although
a
they're playing
bad game.
It, right?
Yeah.
Then you have to deal with language and just shit that these guys say constantly. There's a reason XQC is in trouble. I mean, he does it time and time again, right? So you can't expect these companies to come in and back them. You allow them to do what they're doing to a certain extent. Obviously, if they break certain violations, which they've both done, they get banned like anybody else. But yeah, they're part of the community.
And I will say this too. It's not an even playing field. It's not. You know, I do feel for XQC. I can get away with saying a lot more on Overwatch or games than he can. Because let's face it, there's not 10,000 people watching me, you know? And when you have that many eyeballs on you, yeah, everything you do or say is going to get picked up. Someone from Blizzard, and especially at this point, is watching XQC every day. Like, there is some intern at Blizzard who is told, watch this dude stream, and if he says anything, you let someone know, right?
Yeah.
If he does anything, you let someone know.
Man, he should know that too. He's been streaming long enough.
Yeah, well, that's
what
I'm saying.
Enough time, so it's like, if you're gonna put yourself in that position and want to make money off of it, you're making money off of the game too by being, you know, by being part of that community. Those are the people that are supporting you, at least 90% of them. You know what you're doing. So either you play by the rules, or you do it and it gets him pub, right? Like they always say, any pub is good pub. This keeps him a little bit more relevant.
Yeah.
Even us, like us getting a chance to talk about it now. But then I don't feel bad for the situation. They put themselves in it. He's profiting heavily from it. Like, he's got a huge subscriber base. So it's give and take. Like, if you're upset with the game, play something else. You know, see if your fans follow you. Great. They might not. But if you're going to play the game, you got to play by the rules. You're a lot more visible. People are watching. You know that. Deal with it, you know. Like, I just don't feel bad.
I don't think they're trying to use XQC as an example either, though. I think it's just like, dude, no. Look, you want 10,000 people watching you, one of them might be Blizzard. You got to play by the same rules. It's not our fault that you're being, you know, viewed more, right? Because I can promise you, there are games that I play in Overwatch that people say something that they should be banned for every single day.
Look, if you're intentionally throwing a game and you get banned for it, like, I would hope that happens. I wish that happened in games more. I wish Counter-Strike or Overwatch, like, if somebody gets pissed off, you pick their character, or in Counter-Strike, you take somebody's spot. Like, they just quit the rest of the game. They go scout Deagle and pray to God that that works or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's good that they do it, because he does have 10,000 eyes on him. If they see him getting banned, they're probably less likely to go and do that same thing in game. If he doesn't get banned, what are they going to do? They rage, think it's funny. Possibly you have more people, you know, doing it that weren't before. Not to say it sways people, but you just don't want to set that example.
True. And also, let's face it, when you're XQC, it's not like you've done anything to earn Blizzard's favors either, right? Yeah, you get people to play Overwatch, but I mean, when you also say it's the worst game ever and you cuss out the developers, do you think they're really that willing to be like, ah, this guy's changed for the umpteenth time? Yeah.
Yeah, he's fine.
I think that is what it is. You know, I don't think you should get any type of special treatment. And you know what? You see this in regular sports all the time. Think of hockey, right? It's always the guy who punches back who's going to get caught, right? How many times have you seen it to where, you know, my mom taught me that growing up, right? Like, hey, if someone punches you, you're going to be the one who gets caught when you punch back, right? Or it's always the second person in that gets caught. If you're getting trolled,
strike fast, strike first, strike hard.
Yeah, just, I don't know, just be smart about it. I don't know. Another Overwatch drama, though, and this is probably something that warrants its own segment on, but there's just too much to get to today. And that was Siegel did a video. If you haven't seen it, it's about 20 minutes. It's a good length, but go check it out if you have 20 minutes to spare on the state of Overwatch. Big talking points in it.
A million views so far.
Huge, right? Huge. Yeah. And you can promise, again, that is Blizzard watching it, right? Yeah. Someone at Blizzard who pay attention. So it's great. It's great that someone like Siegel is finally talking about this stuff. Because he talked about how the balancing is off with Overwatch, right? The hard counters are too hard. You know, it's kind of almost like a rock, paper, scissor-esque aspect to it. The toxicity, where you kind of need a scoreboard, because right now you just don't know. There's not enough information to not get mad at someone. You just want to blame everyone, when in reality, people maybe flame you are the flame. Bad. Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And we do that all the time, right? You get into a game and you immediately say, like, all right, if we lose, it's Mercy's fault. And
it's 100% kinda, the healer's fault.
Yeah,
every
it's
time.
A meme at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, he said the ultimates were too powerful, and it kind of came down to just the ultimate team fights and things like that. All very, very valid points. That's becoming a lot of discussion. It, you know, not everyone agrees with him. You know, just because he's Siegel doesn't mean you have to. You do have a lot of people in there saying, like, well, I think he's just being a little picky on this one. I will say this. My opinion is, for people who had to have solo queued their entire time playing Overwatch, this is something you see since day one. I think Siegel's just now seeing this because he's not constantly in a pro scrim or playing with other pros. He is doing the random matches more often than not. And so now he finally gets to see, damn, is this what it's like when you don't have like five other pros scrimming with you, knowing what they're doing?
Yeah. And when you're playing against other pros too, you know, like,
yeah,
you get it. You're playing the game at a whole different level, playing it properly. But yeah, this has been kind of the issue with Overwatch since the beginning. I'm not saying all of his points are 100% spot on, but there are a lot of hard counters in the game right now. Mm-hmm. As they add somebody, it almost eliminates somebody else. It feels like basically leaves a rotation. So,
and I do agree that, like, if you have that, Overwatch is a game that you need six people working together.
Yeah.
You really can't have one person be a hard carry. And you really can't have that one person that is bad and then makes up for it, right? It is a tough game. And he made the point, right? If you're playing against a Brigitte and you have a Tracer on your team, you're going to lose. There's no doubt about it, right? Unless it's just like a gold Brigitte against a, you know, Grandmaster Tracer. If there's even any type of even strength on there, you're going to lose, because it's just a hard counter, and it just shouldn't, you know, it comes down to rock, paper, scissors.
Tracer is not meant to beat her.
Exactly.
You know, it's just not the way it works.
And you
I do see
that all the time.
I do think his thoughts about ultimates, and we kind of discussed this earlier, that feels pretty normal in this game, though. Like, that doesn't surprise me that the ultimates are strong. Like, I thought they were supposed to be, right? Mm-hmm. So I thought if you had a, you know, you have a special move that maybe comes up, well, definitely comes up once, potentially twice during some of these matches.
Well, they could come up once or twice in a fight, depending on the hero.
Well, yeah, depending on who you're playing.
This is what I think, right? If you want to balance out that, because I see his point where sometimes you just won't even pick a fight because you're just waiting for ultimates or what have you. I don't think the ultimates are too powerful. I think that ultimates just come too quickly. If you wanted to try to balance out their strength, make it to where they just take longer to get, and that way they're more valuable, right? That way you're not just, you're not a Hanzo just throwing your ult in the middle of a fight because you know you're going to get it back in a minute, right? You got to be like, all right, I need to hold on to this thing because I might not get it again, or I might get it one more time in this match. I think
they
that's
can make
a
it like a Call
that.
Of Duty aspect with their players, you know, in that sense. You only get your special. I know you don't do it in Pro League, right? So in Pro League, they don't have them on there, right. But you only get it like once or twice a game, and you feel like if you mess it up, you really put yourself in a bad spot, right? Like I feel like if I mess up my super, you know, your main move in COD, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that just now. Or somebody kills you mid. That doesn't really happen in Overwatch. Like your main ability, you know, whether it be with Ashe and the new Bob just running in there and doing its thing, or Hanzo, they're powerful, powerful moves. So if you do get them several times a game, it's going to overpower the other team. Again, I kind of look at Overwatch as that type of game, though. Like, right? It doesn't seem...
No, like you said,
that's at least
been
how
that
was
way
felt.
Since day one. I mean, if your beef was it, if you wanted to try to do it on an experimental server, then maybe do that, right? I guess I've never been triggered by that because I'm with you. I guess I've just thought that's what it is, right?
Yeah.
It is what it is. That's Overwatch. You just play off of your ulties. You kind of keep track of the other teams, and you have that ult economy going on. But nonetheless, he does make a lot of valid points, and I am glad that it's picking up as much steam as it is. I know some people are trying to make a case for it, like, oh, well, this is why Overwatch is a dead game. I think that's such a tired bit, right? People say the same thing about Counter-Strike, because Counter-Strike isn't really like a top Twitch game anymore. It's like top 10, but not top 3 like it used to be. And, you know, that happens. It's just that's the way Twitch works. You know, you get people who want to watch newer things. It doesn't mean the pro scene is dead, which I think for a lot of these games is where they live and breathe, right? Go see a player base in Counter-Strike when a major happens. I promise you that player base spikes the week of and after a major.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, for sure.
It's the same thing with Overwatch. Watch how that viewership and the player base was going to spike when the league starts up again. It's just
and again with Overwatch, just one of those things. Like people just gotta wait and see, you know. It just hasn't been doing it long enough to know. Like Counter-Strike, again, it's such a hard comparison to any game because it's such a unique situation of 20 years of being involved in the esports community in some form or fashion, you know. Overwatch, you know, whether you look at Fortnite, like everyone's quick to judge and say, oh, this is the end, or this is, oh, they're about to take off now. Like you just got to wait and see. It's different every year. Overwatch is going into season 2, which is nothing right now. It's just one of those things. You can't call it a dead game because of the player base. Again, it's the pro scene that drives the money here. If the sponsors are there, the viewer count is in it at an acceptable number, it's not going anywhere. It's going to stay.
Right.
Like
the World Cup pulled in over 100,000. It's not, it's one of those things, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a Overwatch apologist, but I also am not here just to hate on it because it's Overwatch. You know, I love the game. I love playing it. I also, though, completely understand, like, when Siegel was like, huh, I wonder if people just decide not to play the game because they don't want to get upset. Yeah, that's, like, everyone, right? Like, there are many times where I'm like, man, I would love to get on and play, like, a game or two of Overwatch, but I'm also going to go to bed in, like, the next hour, and I don't want to go to bed just pissed off. So, it's not a perfect game. No game is. You know, it's just nice that a player as big as Siegel is willing to talk about it and actually get that type of traction, right? So maybe things change from it. You know, you hope.
Even if you take a piece or two of it, use it for constructive criticism, it doesn't have to be, oh, make all of these changes to satisfy him. But they're talking points to generate conversation around those pieces.
Right. I'm not saying just because it's Siegel saying it, it's all true and it should all happen. I think in a perfect world, how about if you play competitive, you actually want to compete and win, right? That's what needs to happen. A lot of this can be fixed by just having a better community. But that's, you know,
better community. And I think a big thing for competitive that would help a lot of this is queuing for roles versus queuing for matches. You can't do that right now, right?
You can do a group finder, but even then it doesn't force you to play that role.
I think that should be something that, I mean, that would just help.
Yeah. That's what people have been saying that since day one, though. The thing is like a lot of complaints that people have, they've been complaining about since day one. And it's like, yeah, Blizzard will tweak little things here and there, but there are some things that they are just, there's not going to be a scoreboard. Like they have said it. I don't really agree with their reasoning, but whatever. But that's kind of been Overwatch in a nutshell for like, I feel like the off season, right? Especially in like the last month or two, a lot of drama going around in Overwatch. Doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing for the scene, right? It gets people interested. The fact that I think it's off season and you can have these kind of conversations is a good thing.
It's like the NBA.
Yeah, right. The fact that you can have these drama, and that's not even bringing up roster moves or anything like that. So we'll get all that on a later episode. For now, let's get into some Championship Sunday, shall we? Because, like I said, I'm actually going to play some music on this one here, Nooch, if you don't mind.
I'm excited for this segment. Like, this was a big Sunday.
It was a very big Sunday. Very big Sunday for a lot of gaming communities. I don't even know where you want to start.
Go top down.
Actually,
you know what? No. Go bottom to top.
All right. So starting off.
Big voice for later.
Starting off, you had the Smite World Championship wrap up. Splice, the North American team, ended up defeating Team Rival in the closest championship ever, beating them 3-2. And even in the both semis, they were 3-2 series as well.
No, 3-0. Oh, sorry. Wrote that wrong on there. Both semis were 3-0s.
3-0.
So it was nice. Yeah, it was nice.
Okay, so both teams kind of dominated in semis, went to the finals.
Yeah. And had.
I know you said you watched some of this.
I watched a little bit. I watched like a game. I actually watched game 5. Splice happened to dominate that game, so it wasn't the most exciting game. The game ended. It was nice because the game ended in like 30 minutes or something. It was. Felt like a quick Smite game.
So
I want to wrap it up.
Smite 3-2 Splice, blah blah blah. In Rainbow. I don't know anything about Smite, I won't lie. I've never played Smite. I've seen it a few times. I know it's okay, popular. That's it. That's my Smite knowledge. In Rainbow, you had their Pro League Season 8 finals wrap up in Brazil. By the way, excellent crowd. Very proud of Brazil. They really made that look like a... I guess I wasn't sure if Rainbow was that popular in Brazil. But I guess it is, because that crowd was really into it. Too bad the finals was kind of lame. You had G2... the European side of G2 ended up defeating FaZe, which is a Brazilian team, right? And FaZe really, they're good, but they weren't as much of a favorite going into the event. So the fact that they made it to the finals was pretty huge on their part. At least I wasn't expecting them to get to the finals. They were definitely on the easier side of the bracket. Something that was huge on their side, though, was when Noringo, the Japanese team, Anuj, Japanese, did you know they had a Rainbow Six team?
No, which team is it?
No, I'm going to mispronounce. I say Noringo. I don't know if that's how you say it. But they ended up defeating Rogue 2-1 in the quarterfinals, which was like the biggest upset of the tournament. Apart from Fnatic beating Evil Geniuses, which was the American, the NA team. One of them, Rogue obviously being the other, but being both upset in the quarters. So FaZe pretty much had one of the easier routes to the finals, but they ended up getting smoked 2-0 in the finals.
Rainbow always manages to amaze me. Like, you know, you don't hear a ton about them, but they've c- continuously just built that player base up, and they've made the right changes. They put on a hell of a show. They have the best host in all of in all of the world, in our opinion. Should take over CSGO here pretty soon, hopefully. But yeah, that game continues to surprise, dude. Like, they put on a good show, quality gameplay. It just kind of blows my mind that they've stuck around when they started so rough.
And we can kind of talk about this when we talk about H1Z1 in the next segment. But Ubisoft has done a really good job of knowing what they are. You know, they have done a really, really good job of chipping away and creating their little scene in esports. And I think it really has paid off for them, because you do see when it comes down to the finals, they'll pull in, you know, 150,000 viewers.
How to make changes to their, like, to affect their scene directly rather than to affect to a casual player base, right? They're not trying to draw in a bunch of casuals at this point. Like, they know that they have a competitive player base, so the scene is catered towards that competitive player base. And I don't think you see that often enough, so credit to them. Because like I said, it just doesn't happen. Most people are focusing on drawing in a new audience, pulling in casual players. That's just not the route they've gone.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very cool on them. I was also very interested in this tournament. I did a lot of show research. A lot of
hours,
show research.
Days.
Hard sweating research for the stage host for the Brazilian stream. I'm going to mispronounce her name, but quite frankly, I don't care. How would you say this? Nivi Estevan.
Let's go with that.
One of the most talented stage hosts in esports. I think she should stage host every esport.
Like, goodbye machine.
I mean, she just asked the best questions and really controlled the crowd. Just
fantastic. God,
I'm really, it blew me away. Blew me away. So if you don't know who she is, look her up, but not at work or on your cell phone. She looks talented. Let me tell you that. Can I say that in 2018?
I think it's a little rough with the climate, but with the amount of listeners we have.
I was complimenting her work, though.
No, that's what we're talking about, right?
Hey, can I be real with you, though? On a side note, apart from Championship Sunday, I also went to church on Sunday.
Church hot? Still a thing.
Going strong. You got now in Texas, you got the fall church hot going.
Those Uggs come out. Leggings, possibly.
The long sweater dress shirt thing.
Those long sweaters, dude. Those do it
church
for me.
Hot kinda, is in full
like,
swing.
It's like a half shoulder a little bit, too, sometimes,
yep,
you know?
Yep.
Oh, Lord.
For new listeners, if you don't know what church hot is, it's this phenomenon that when you go to church, for some reason, women get really dressed up and they're just better looking, which is just normally not what you would get from church. But
look, if hashtag, you spot it, tag it.
Hey, man, let us know on Twitter. Hashtag church hot. We appreciate it. In other Championship Sunday news, the best tournament in esports happened. Smash Summit 7. This won't be the last Melee Summit by any means. They did announce Smash Summit 8. It's called Ultimate Smash. The Ultimate Summit. It's for Ultimate. But are they also going to have Melee there?
Ooh, you know what? Like, my guess would be no, but I didn't see that when I read about it.
I know.
I don't think it was mentioned. My take would be no. I think it'd be a bad move to have both of them there. Both. You start drawing.
I don't think so either. Right.
So.
I agree.
But that's going to be awesome. I'm all so right. Looking forward.
According
to that,
Border, one of our listeners who's watching us on Twitch says they are two separate summits: a Ultimate and a Melee. So that's good.
I think that's great. I think it's great that they're doing it early and not waiting too long.
Agreed. You got to catch that hype train, man. You know what they need? It's not even catching the hype train when it comes to Super Smash Brothers for a new one. It's you need to capitalize on it before the community turns on it. Because we don't know yet if this is going to be a good Smash, right? Everything points to it. I've heard a lot of the pros say it plays really well. But you really just don't know until the community
until
plays
it's out.
It.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, I love Smash, but their community is so hateful against one another, right? Like Melee refuses to accept a new one, and the new ones refuse to accept Melee, and they really don't allow either game to really expand. But hopefully Ultimate will be that bridge that the community needs, and these pros will just play in both, and then we can move on.
Do a little plug for our Tisha, like little baby plug, little intro
little
to the TCR
plug.
Summit.
Just a little baby plug.
A little something.
I don't know the date yet. Maybe the last weekend of the year. TCR is officially hosting their own professional amateur Smash Ultimate tournament. It will be live on Twitch. So follow us, twitch.tv/thecenterring. For more details, also follow us on Twitter @thecenterring. We'll let you guys know the more we figure out. It will be fun. Nonetheless, it is a professional amateur, so we are professional amateurs. And it is also going to be a winners-take-all tournament. So the prize pool, the winner will take everything, nothing for second place. So
TBD, but we're thinking six figures.
Oh, definitely. Definitely six.
Also, so, we need a six-figure sponsorship.
An esports tournament unlike anything else. But actually, getting back to Smash Summit, HBox ended up defeating Leffen 3-1 in the finals. Mango ended up taking third place after losing to Leffen after the comeback. Mango was playing out of his mind this tournament. It's a real shame. I think HBox triggers Mango. I mean, obviously he does, right? It's been very on record that Mango does not like HBox for good reasons. But I think he gets in his head too much. This whole tournament, Mango looked very composed. You know, he wasn't getting upset. He went on with the punches, and he dominated Leffen the first time they played. Then he plays HBox in the winter semis, lost, and I guess the winners. How does that work? The one before the grand finals, right?
The best losers semis. Finals,
or the winners it's finals? You get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't know how double elimination bracket works, but you get what I mean.
He lost in the winners semis, then won in the losers finals, and then lost to HungryBox again, right?
No. Lost to Leffen in the losers finals.
Oh, the losers finals. Yeah, that's right.
So
yeah.
My point is, HBox gets under Mango's skin, and he doesn't know how to... Okay, I guess he lost in the winners finals is what it's called. The winners finals, and then he lost in losers finals. I guess if you win winners finals, you go to... It's a double elimination tournament. You get what I mean. So the whole point is HBox is a bitch. He gets under Mango's skin, and then it throws off Mango every time. I don't necessarily... HBox gets under everyone's skins. I actually have some audio to play for you, Anuj, and the listener. This is from after the tournament. HBox wins, and he goes and sits with the desk, and he kind of talks to everyone, right? If you are familiar with HBox, and I know you are, Anuj, just from me talking about him, he is, bar none, one of the more dramatic Smash players out there. And I've gone both ways with him, right? I used to despise him, and then he ended up winning Evo. I believe it was Evo, and he starts breaking down on stage crying, yeah. And I'm like, damn it, dude. Respect, right? Like, I can see how much this means to him. For all the trash he has taken from the community, I gotta respect HBox. And now I'm back to FHBox. The dude is a drama queen. This is him first talking with the desk, if you want to call it, at Summit about being number one.
You don't want to get a win. You don't want to get a rank one for there to be dispute. If you're going to be the best player, you need to beat everyone on the roof. And I'm proud to say that I did that exactly the way that I wanted to. And I'm happy. I'm very happy.
All right. I agree with that, right? You don't want there being any type of dispute with being number one. beat the best, you are the best. And I totally agree with that logic. That is solid logic. But then just a mere minutes later, he goes and says this.
Very large stigma right now. People who play certain characters in Melee, Puff and Ices especially, and there's like this giant hatred brigade against them. People like, you know, Bananas, who made an incredible, incredible run here today, beating top six ranked players, you know, just getting all sorts of hate messages and all that. But people don't realize you may be able to judge the character by one wobble, and it may look annoying, or one rest from Puff, but there's an entire system of interactions, things that you don't notice that are going on. It would be like me looking at a tennis match, me looking at a football match, and me like jeering at whatever quarterback is there, you know, Brady or whatever, but then you're not that person. You don't know all the neurons that are firing in that moment. Yeah.
So he goes on pretty much to say, look, I know there's a stigma against the character I use. Well, then right there, you just said you don't want to be number one and have there any dispute on why you're number one. But hey, I know the character I use is kind of known to be a bitch character and kind of cheap, but I'm number one, so deal with it. And he brings
it is what it is.
He brings up Ice Climbers, which his partner at this event, Bananas, used Ice Climbers, which I know I've gone on many rants about Ice Climber and Chudat uses Ice Climbers, and it gets under my skin. Dude, it ruins the game. It really, really does ruin the game. And I respect the Melee community for not enforcing gentleman agreements or enforcing bans, right? Melee is one of the rare esports out there that can't get a balance update, right? It is what it is. The game has been untouched since release because it's not online. And how many more esports or games can you say that nowadays? I really don't think any.
Look, dude, like at the end of the day, you're playing a game that's like 20 years old. Okay. Right. So the game is what it is. It's like you said, this hasn't changed in forever. So there was no need for him to say that because it kind of just threw himself under the bus. I think for us, you know, as the community or spectators, I mean, I might hate certain things, but it's allowed. I hate gentleman agreements in COD. I think they're terrible. I think, you know, you set up a pro league and it should be played with the rules that are in place. So for him to say that, you know, whatever, it takes away from himself. He's not knocking anybody else for it. Doesn't make me hate him for saying it. But yeah, there is a stigma around it. Like, people understand that.
And I think you have to accept the stigma, though. Don't try to sit here and be like, there are a lot of thinking that goes into the wobble. You know, there's a lot of thinking going into a wombo combo where the second you grab someone, they cannot get away from you and you'd rack up the damage and kill them in one hit. Like, there's not much thinking going on there. You are just praying to God you can grab them four times and win that match, you know? Like, again, don't come at me and be like, oh, man, this is like a top 10 skill right here.
You're using something that you know is a cheese part of the game. But, hey, you're number one, so just own it. You know, like, really, I just want you to own it and just not even look back. Don't worry about it. Like, play your game, do you? But don't make excuses for it, right? It starts to look bad once you do that.
What he should have done is been like, hey, you know what? I know the sleep is cheap for Jigglypuff. Find a way to beat me. You know, I think it's ridiculous that there's a move that can one-shot someone when they're at 50, 60%. But obviously that's how he's made a living off of it, right? And I have mad respect for HBox in the sense of the dude... I don't know how to word it, but he went and got a job, right? He doesn't full time play Smash anymore because it just does, the money's not there. So he does have another job outside of Smash. So the fact that he can still keep up this type of play and work another job, mad respect, but also embrace the fact that you play a cheese character, dude. You play a cheese character. I also think, though, that because there's also rumored, it's not, I guess, a rumor, but pros also say that he doesn't play with people. And I think he does it on purpose because he knows he is the only player in the Smash world that can play Puff the way he plays her. And so if he can keep her secrets to himself, then who's gonna be there to practice?
It's not like new people are really entering the scene that much either, right? You see the consistent same three, yeah, four names,
I
mean, at the top.
I think people are waiting for Ultimate and whatever, but still, though, but like, think about it, in general. Right? Like at these tournaments, right? You have pros that might not be able to play, you know, X level of Pikachu, but you do have pros that can play Pikachu, so they'll go and warm up against another pro to try to play Pikachu, and you can do that. And if you're a pro prepping for this tournament, you know you're going to play about five other foxes. So you're going to really focus on beating Fox. How am I going to beat Fox, right? Not necessarily how am I going to beat Mango or Leffen. It's how am I going to counter a Fox player.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to focus all that time into, okay, how am I going to beat Jigglypuff? For maybe the off chance you have to play HBox. I mean, unless you're going into like the top four or even top eight, you're probably not going to play HBox. I'm talking like, you know, if you're a top 20 player. But especially if you're a top eight, you still have a small chance that you ever play HBox. So why focus all that effort in playing a Puff character? You shouldn't, right? That's not smart training. But guess who's taking advantage of that 100%? HBox.
The one guy who is dedicated to playing him.
The one guy who has mastered Puff. And guess what? He has the easiest time practicing because he could pick pretty much any other top tier hero or character and people are going to play them. He can find anyone can play a Fox, right? He can practice against anyone to play Marth. So I think a lot of that goes into why he is number one. Not taking anything away from it, right? But some people are wondering, like, man, why is HBox so good? Well, I think it's just he has a very unique situation, and he is taking full advantage of it.
And again, with the game essentially is dead in the sense of it's not changing. So,
yeah,
people just got to find a way around it. Or in our case, we're hoping everybody moves to Ultimate and kind of gets on the same page here.
Yeah,
I don't like the split community aspect of it.
I don't want Melee to die. Right, because Melee is always near and true, but I would like to see those pros also migrate over, you know? Like, let's see what you do up against in a new game with new, you know, with a different top eight to play against, right? Like, you guys keep playing each other. Let's see what happens when new talent, new blood gets involved. But nonetheless, Smash Summit was really fun to watch, and I'm glad that they have two more coming up relatively soon. In the last edition of Championship Sunday, we come back to a near and dear game to our hearts. Halo 5 has their final tournament for the Halo 5 series at DreamHack Atlanta, where Tox ended up defeating Rec in back-to-back 4-0 sets going from the losers' final. So they had to reset the bracket and win another best of seven. And Tox ended up 4-0-ing Rec on both sets.
Trying to save time, man. We appreciate that. We know these could have been dragged out.
Two best of sevens. When I heard that, I was like, oh God, I'm going to be here all night. And then Tox was like, nah, man, don't worry about it. I got your back.
It always makes me sad to watch these things because we're all Halo lovers, you know, and I get like a little depressed watching a Halo tournament. But I enjoy it. Like, I always enjoy the gameplay. It's still Halo. Like, it might not be the game that we want, but still watching Halo. I didn't watch a ton of it. I did watch some of the finals. It's exciting, dude. Like, the game's exciting. It gets me pumped up for the next generation of Halo and hoping it comes to PC and done right. But it's always fun to watch high-level competitive Halo. Like, you get a good show.
It's down, like, it's so old school, right? The capture the flag and Oddball and Slayer. It was cool too, because I know you did the same thing. You know, Summit got permission to stream it on his stream, so it was really cool to see Summit watching it. And it brought back, like, hey, I didn't know he was such a fan. Like, that dude knew what he was talking about.
Dude, he knew so much, he could have been on the desk.
He could have been. So I think that was really cool to see. Like, damn, it just goes to show. The fan base is still there for Halo, you know? You have those old school fans for Halo just waiting for it to come back, right? And it's like, it's weird. normally games don't have as long of a lifespan or a waiting period like Halo, but it does seem like we're willing to give Halo all the time it needs to become big again, you know? Like,
it's like, just get it right.
Just
like, get it right. If it takes you longer, just get it right.
Right. It's you can have all the time you want with Halo Infinite. If it comes to PC and it is good and you win the community over, it was all worth the wait. It was pretty cool to see that they did this at DreamHack Atlanta, but they're also doing it in January in St. Louis, a Halo 3 tournament. So like I said, this was the last Halo 5 tournament, but it is not the last Halo tournament before Infinite comes out. You do have a Halo 3 Master Chief Collection, but nonetheless, Halo 3 tournament coming up in January, which I think is pretty ingenious on their part.
Makes me think that Halo Infinite would come out at the end of next year. I don't know if that's accurate or not. That's purely speculation, but
kind of for the holiday season.
Yeah, well, it's your last Halo 5 tournament, so what are you going to do? Like, leave Halo in the dark for a full 12 months?
Right.
That's not
going to
be a good
look. Also
makes
me believe Halo Infinite is going to play more like Halo 3.
Which, how awesome would that be?
Why go back that far in the list, right? You got Halo 4. You have Halo Reach. You do have games
5, Master Chief.
Yeah, you still have 5 to mess around on. Master Chief redid all of them that you could technically play, and then they chose Halo 3. So although Halo 3 was the Mac Daddy of them all, but it would be weird that you decide to go Halo Infinite, play exactly like Halo 5, and yet you just had all these pros play Halo 3 for a year.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. It'll be fun to watch something a little bit, like, in the sense, bring back some good memories. You know, again, I think our hopes and wishes are known for Halo in that game, and it's just kind of a wait-and-see situation here.
And one thing, though, that's kept Halo alive for this long, because let's face it, right, 343 could have been burnt up with Halo, and they could have overdone it and got too excited with it and everything, but they didn't. They played it smart. We talked about Rainbow Six playing it smart, right? Knowing what you are and knowing how big a piece of the esports pie that you can have, right? Don't get overzealous, which is something in our next topic definitely did not do. As H1Z1 Pro League officially shuts down to no one's surprise. This opened up.
We talked about this even early on when these guys came about.
It was over the summer, right? It wasn't that long ago.
No, it wasn't. And I remember the first match like took place fairly late at night, on a weekday, if I'm not mistaken. But I got a chance to catch it. I was like, okay, this is kind of cool. But in my mind, I'm like, isn't this game dead? Like, where are they getting all this new money from? Like, how long can they sustain like a full pro league? Well, guess when you mismanage it, not that long.
I guess the answer is you don't. You don't get the money. This was a, remember they signed with Facebook. It was franchising teams. You had profit shares, minimum salaries for players. I mean, this promised
big
everything.
Orgs. Everything. Really big orgs.
And you're right. Big orgs that you thought, I remember when they announced it, we were like, why are these organizations getting involved with this? You had guys like Cloud9, CLG, Echo Fox, Rogue, TSM, just to name a few of the big ones, signing on to this tournament. And we were like, this doesn't make sense, right? It just didn't make sense back when they announced it. Like you just said, Anuj, the game was dying. You don't create a pro league with this many promises, right? While you're losing players.
But like, it's not even that it was dying. At the point when this came out, it was basically dead. I mean, everybody had moved on to PUBG. Fortnite was like really starting to take off at that point. You had no big streamers remaining in the H1 world. So it really came out of left field. And I still remember all of us like vividly discussing that, like, wow, this,
like, who is going to watch this? Like, what, yeah, what is their target market on this one?
Well,
for the amount,
and then
of
you
money,
limit it to Facebook too. It's like, okay, that was, a questionable decision. Like, I get it. Maybe if you're Counter-Strike in their situation, you already have a big audience, so maybe you take the money and
whatever. The audience will follow.
Yeah, but in this case, it's like, okay.
And we just, like we said, knowing what you are, it's not the fact that you created a pro league. That's fine, right? You want to create a league to have the players that stick with you and be competitive, and you want that competitive scene. That makes perfect sense, right? That's what game is nowadays. Gaming is being competitive nowadays, right? If you have any type of multiplayer, I think your goal at this point is to see, maybe we can get pro teams involved on this, right? You don't have that casual multiplayer like you once did. But it came down to the money mismanagement. You brought up like streamers and no streamer was playing this. There were reports that they spent over $1 million to have Shroud, Dr. Disrespect, and Summit, and like Tim the Tatman and some other big name streamers. Maybe not Dr. Disrespect, but big name streamers. At their opening event, and there was rumors, Nuj, over $1 million it costed That's them insane. to fly these guys in, to pay them, right, to be there, to basically be, you know, the celebrities at all these events and hyping it up. And these are guys who haven't touched the game in how long, you know? These are guys that pretty much abandon H1Z1, and they're like, hey, take this $1 million package for us and talk about our game for us.
And they only did it for that day. Like, it's only not did like it for that any day. Obligation to go back and stream the game, which they didn't, right? No. Like, they all came back and went to whatever other game they were in the middle of playing. And it's not like they were prepping or practicing for these, you know, this event. It was literally just a cash grab. Let's throw some big names out there. Let's make it seem legit. The community is not that dumb, right? Like, it's not like all of a sudden these six big names go out to this event. It's like, hey, you know, these guys are there. Maybe I should give this another chance. Like, no, we know it's hot. We know it's trending. Mm-hmm.
Is you say the community is not that dumb. I went to the H1Z1 subreddit when I saw this news come down about the league shutting down. Just to see what they said, right? Like, if anyone was going to be a diehard fanboy, it would be the subreddit. And seriously, not one person on that thread was like, oh man, this is a shame. Everyone was like, yeah, no, we figured that. Like, we don't know why they did it to begin with. It was stupid. Like, no one cared.
It's just, yeah. And like you said, you mentioned the happy hours and stuff like that. I don't know if we brought that up already. Reports of
every Wednesday night after the matches, they would host happy hour at Caesars Casino, the Caesars Palace Casino in Vegas, for the players and staff with an open bar. Unofficial reports that this can cost anywhere from $4,000 to $7,000 a night. Like, dude, you are H1Z1. You gotta know this is not what you spend your money on.
You're like doing player salary money at that point. Like, that's like a month or two for, you know, depending on the player's salary that you're throwing away every Wednesday on a happy hour when your game's already struggling.
I think this was one where like the org saw all the promises, and keep in mind this was right after or in the middle of Overwatch League Season 1, where that was franchised with player salaries and profit share. And I think the orgs got a little excited, right? I think they saw, I think H1Z1 hit all the catchphrases that gets people its attention. And the orgs were like, hell yeah, we don't want to miss out. Let's do this. And then it just backfired. Now they're not getting paid. Apparently it's like hundreds of thousands of dollars in debts to some of these organizations on what was promised. And honestly, I don't see how with where the game is currently at, like, they're going to get that money back.
They're not.
I would love to say that I'm surprised, but I'm really not, because we all said it as soon as this was announced on the show that this was doomed to fail from the get-go. There's just not enough. I mean, H1Z1 has been one of the most unstable games since it was released. Even in beta, when Sony sold it. You know, I think people forget that Sunbreak Studios was not the original studio behind H1Z1, you know? It used to be Sony's Entertainment that was making it. And then it split. They created Battle Royale. And I don't know, man.
There, it just didn't keep up with the times. But
the
I also
game
put
was
it on
so
orgs
mismanaged.
Too, right? Like the orgs, I feel like really should have known better in this case. This is an issue with them just diving into every single game that you can. Mm-hmm. And you see what sticks and where you make your money. And I think this was just a bad gamble. I mean, they had to know ultimately it was a risk. And so you don't overly can't like, it's not all H1Z1. Like, hey, you guys bet on us too. And it didn't work for all of them. So,
right. Well, I 100% agree. I don't think the org should be completely blameless in this, right? It's kind of like, what did you guys, they should have done their research just as much.
Hell, they should have been marketing the game a lot more too if they really wanted it to succeed. Like, let's be real, I mean we follow all the major team accounts, all the teams that are pretty much involved in that league. I never saw them tweeting about H1Z1 except for maybe match night. Like the night the game is on, they would tweet out.
You know what they'll tweet about though? Paladins. They'll tweet the hell out of Paladins.
They learned from their
mistakes.
Which
also had their world championship. We forgot to bring up Paladins and Championship Sunday. NVS ended up winning the Paladins World Championship. So if there's proof that a game can survive based off of the game developer paying for their esport, Paladins is that proof. Because I promise you, there's no way those orgs just sign up for that one. No way.
Again, another one of those that like blows my mind, but
I want to talk to someone off the air and be like, so you guys, how much money do you make to play for in Paladins Pro League right now? How much? Because I'll tell you what, like the 8,000 people it gets watching their matches ain't cutting it. So if that might be too great, but
agreed.
Stay hard, H1Z1, because I think this was probably the nail in. Well, this is what sucks, right? From a non-esports side, is this will probably kill the game. Even for like the casual people playing it, as a company, this will probably kill the game because they're so in debt with all of this. You don't know if that's going to hurt the game development and updates and everything there. So we'll just have to wait and see, I guess. But let's get into some e-news, if we shall.
In CSGO, we had the DreamHack Open Atlanta. This year, you had Vitality beating Luminosity 2-0 in the finals. Vitality, if you don't know, is the new put-together French team consisting of, like, what, MBK, Apex, RPK, Happy, and Zywoo. Mm-hmm. Zywoo was definitely the all-star of this event. Like, he is such a raw talent, and there's all these stories coming out that he was offered a contract either by Envious or G2, or I think it was probably G2, and turned it down, wasn't ready to make the change at that point. And he is going to be the next big French star. I don't know if it'll be Vitality being that team all the way, but this was a good start for them. It puts them in the top 30, I believe, of the rankings right now. Again, they beat Complexity in the semis. They were down a map and came back and won the final two, and then defeated Luminosity 2-0 in the finals.
It was kind of cool to see a French team playing at that level again.
Yeah, winning a tournament. I mean, that's just big momentum.
The way Zywoo was playing, it definitely gives you hope that maybe this is the roster that can kind of shoot the French scene back on it. Not saying G2 isn't good, but you know, they're just as inconsistent as any other.
Yeah, Zywoo was going to be that guy to watch in 2019. Like, this guy wouldn't surprise me if he came out and was like a top 5 player going into next year. He's that good.
In Dota, you did have, I'm going to screw this up, the Kuala Lumpur. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Kuala Lumpur.
Okay. Where's that at?
Nepal or something.
All right, I watched the major, but I don't watch majors for the geography lesson. Virtus Pro ended up defeating Team Secret 3-2. This is Virtus Pro's
Malaysia.
Malaysia, Nepal. Tomato, tomato. This is VP's fourth victory of 2018 when it comes to major or big tournament. They have been dominating in Dota. Too bad they are wearing esports' worst jerseys, but that will all change as VP announced that they are going back to the orange and black in 2019. Don't know if that means the sponsorship is done or if they just, you know, felt like they need to go back to their roots, but God bless them for doing so. And in happy esports news, Sonic Fox, as much as I give him grief for his antics, I just
dude's didn't think a character, man. I love him.
Triggers me just thinking about it. He did end up, last week he ended up winning the Injustice 2 Grand Finals and decided to donate 10,000 of his winnings to Rewind's, which is another pro, Rewind. His father is going through cancer, and I think it's like stage 3 cancer surgery. And Sonic Fox is donating $10,000 of those winnings to him to help with the surgery. So,
can I bring up something on that?
Of course.
So, did you watch this? Did you watch him do this?
No, like I did not.
Okay, you gotta go watch
it. Did he like announce it like right there?
Yeah. So, I just read the story. Maybe we can post this on Twitter. So, he went and did like, you know, the winner's presentation or whatever on front stage. And the guy's interviewing him. And Sonic Fox goes into this, you know, starts mentioning how Rewind is somebody that he scrims a lot against, and that he goes, I've never played the games for the money. Like, I really just enjoy playing these games. I've never done it for the money. And he goes, Rewind is a good friend of mine. I scrim against him all the time. I want to, like, do this for him. And then was just about to start talking some more, and the guy, like, cuts him off, and he goes, all right, well, that's great. We got to head out now. So thank you so much. We want to thank our sponsors and blah, blah, blah. And then they like cut it.
Oh,
and
it was I wish I had the audio.
Oh my God.
Like you could tell it was getting to something. Like oh, he was about to have this emotional.
Mid-sentence. Like he had just said out a few words of the sentence. And he's like, all right, that's great. Thank you very much. And now
like the guy at the stage thought he was just wanting to give a shout out to his buddy or something. It's like,
dude, it was like,
so what happened?
Terrible.
Was Sonic Fox like, no, wait.
No, it was like, it's weird. The dude just straight up cut him off. And then you could see them like pan out and it was like done. And so Sonic Fox was just standing there and he did the whole like kind of shrug thing, you know, like arms out shrug a little bit. And it was like, oh my gosh, this dude was like doing one of the most gracious acts you can do to help out somebody else going through, you know, what, like
just,
such a terrible situation.
Shepherd hook off left stage, just
straight cut off. I was like, oh my gosh. So we'll post a video on our Twitter.
I have to go and watch that then. I can't believe I missed that then. I don't know, man. Sometimes people can be so oblivious. I know what that was. That was like some producer telling the dude in the ear, like the stage host, like, okay, gotta go, wrap it up, right? But at the same time, bro, you're streaming live. Like, you don't act like you're on some like strict timetable or something. You gotta
hit commercial. It's like your own channel that you're on, dude.
It's your own championship, dude.
It's your own championship.
You don't cut off the winner's speech, especially like, it's not like he's filibustering, you know? He's about to do something, clearly. Oh man,
it's terrible.
That's awesome. That is awesome. I have to go watch that. So yeah, we'll tweet that at the Center Ring. That just about does it though for this episode of the Center Ring. It's an extra long one, but guess what? There was extra stuff to get to with the Championship Sunday. With how many world champions were crowned this weekend, you just had to give them all their proper time. I do appreciate it, Anuj, for you joining. Hopefully, Brett will get his PC working. I just texted him. He says they're still working on it. So that marks about 4 hours working on their PC.
That's going to be going a little bit longer.
Godspeed on that one. Again, thank you to the listeners, everyone who hung out. If you're in our Twitch chat, I appreciate it. If you listened to the full episode or skipped around on the podcast, I love you all the same. Again, Church Hot, if you see it, say something. It is that time of year for it. It is that time of year. Follow us on Twitter at the Center Ring. Let us know how we're doing. We love to hear from fans. We love to have discussions in our Discord, so join that. stop the music. I forgot something very important. This is Thanksgiving week. So our stream, I think I'm going to try streaming tomorrow and Wednesday because obviously I don't know if I'm going to be able to stream Thursday. That might be a difficult swing with the misses, being that it's a holiday. But we'll try to work on that. Also, this weekend, there is a tournament. It's called ECS. It's this little thing. I don't know. It's not that big a deal. But if you wanted to watch it, you know, we might bring it up next week. I don't know. Is that even an important tournament, Anuj?
Who? EC? ECS?
ESC? ESC, I think.
ESC, yeah, that's right.
Okay, so it's this Counter-Strike tournament in Arlington, Texas. We're like 15 minutes. We're like 15 minutes from the arena. It's like the first esports arena. It's a big deal. You know, and we do a lot to grow the local esports scene, and we in touch with a lot of people. And you would think we could at least generate a email response from our outreach to say, hey, we would love to come check out the event and pimp it out and help you guys out a little bit. And we got nothing in return. So we're not bitter about it. We're here still publicing their little tournament, their little cute tournament. You know, ooh, look at us. We're Arlington, Texas. And
top teams in the world. Like, no big deal.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, top teams, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. Have fun with your dying game, Counter-Strike.
Astralis?
Hmm. Astralis? Sure. Yeah, go figure. There's a bunch of Europeans scheduling a tournament on Thanksgiving weekend. Yeah. Good one. Good one.
Good luck. I wouldn't have made it on Thursday anyway.
Yeah, I didn't want to go to your little tournament anyways. Who cares?
GG.
So I guess we'll bring that up next week. But again, that does it for this episode of The Center Ring. I do appreciate you guys for listening and hanging out with us. We will be back next week. Next Monday, in fact. Oh, no, we won't. I won't be on next Monday. We're probably going to record Tuesday. Monday is my 2-year anniversary. I just remembered that.
What better way to celebrate it than...
Yeah, I'll let my wife know.
Esports.
I'll let my wife... Babe, I got to go. It's the job. It's the job. And then she'll be like, how much money have you made off of it? I'll be like, hey, it's not about the money.
I get that way too much. We're going to have to discuss that. It's not a fair argument.
No, it's not about the money. It's not about the money. It's about the love of the game. And we do love the game. I'll pimp out everything again. Why not? At The Center Ring, tcr.gg. For Anuj, I'm Tim. We'll see you next time.